The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Another Friday. Welcome back. We made it through the week. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to report like this, though. With seven B-2 bombers in Diego Garcia, lots of aerial refueling tankers and C-17s flying in support material all the time, we are expecting something seriously large. Now, some say that the staging on Diego Garcia is for a major attack on Yemen. Others say Iran. I don't think that they would bring this many, the alleged government in Washington, would bring that many B-2s to hit Yemen. It just seems like overkill, saturation. They've been bombing it. The Israelis have been bombing Yemen, and nothing really has changed there except people are dying. The attacks on shipping continue, as we are told. Now, let's find out what Dean Henderson might have to say about all of this. Welcome back, Dean. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good. How are you doing?
I'm still here. That's good.
There you go. All we can do.
That is all we can do. Now, First off, Trump, a guy runs his mouth like no one I've ever seen in major politics. He just talks. Talk. Threat. And it just doesn't stop. So today he says, I will continue bombing Yemen for a long time. Something I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. President Trump on Wednesday, that's the day before yesterday, this is Friday, claimed that the U.S.'s daily airstrikes on Yemen have been very successful and vowed the bombing campaign will continue. I don't think they are that successful, or he wouldn't be saying something like that. Isn't that kind of transparent? I would think.
Yeah, it is.
It's not working.
It's not working. That's all, because you can tell when Trump is being a little salesman and having to
right.
be. Because
right.
it's not working. It's just, I mean, look, Ben, the Houthis, you talk about Afghanistan, you know, people think about Afghanistan and, you know, Tamerlane and Genghis Khan and the Brits and us and, you know, the
yes.
Afghans are tenacious.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about tenacious? You talk about the Yemeni people. They have been through so much in their history, man. It's just much, probably more than Afghani people, honestly. And people don't understand, how battle-hardened the Yemeni people are. I mean, they just turned, you know, and it's everybody in that country because they were just, for decades, just the backyard of the Saudis and just the cheap labor
right.
source for the oil fields,
right.
for Aramco, for Exxon, for Mobil, for all the American companies, for the chemical factories in Saudi Arabia that are owned by the same companies, you know, and that's why, you know, there was a for a while, there was North Yemen, South Yemen. South Yemen was a Marxist country, and that, you know, that was why. And the Houthis sort of carry that tradition forward, just intense resistance to the international right. capitalist order. And they're tenacious, and they make their own hypersonic missiles. No, and I love how Walt said, oh, we got the missileer. Like, there's one missileer, really. You know, they probably have, like, thousands of people who can make these things. Apparently, it's the fastest. There's five countries that have a hypersonic missile. We're not one of them. We might be the sixth now. They're testing one, I've seen, but the Houthis have them. And apparently, they're the fastest hypersonic missiles out there. Are the ones, homemade jobs that the Houthis make out of Scuds.
Yeah.
They make Scuds.
Yeah. I don't want to say the Houthis are or are not technologically proficient. I'm sure they are, competent at least. But aren't they getting a lot of supplies from the Iranians who are testing? They're actually battle testing their own hardware through the auspices of the Yemenis. That's the way I see it, anyway.
Yeah, some of that. There's some of that. And the Russians are giving them military assistance, too. Which is where it gets interesting, you know, because there's this thing with Russia, and it looks good, like, from the outside, and it looks like, you know, we're getting along with Russia now, and, you know, today the Russians accused, I don't know if you caught that, but in the Kursk region there was a power grid hit. Now, the agreement was no attacks on the energy infrastructure. That was part
That's been for about 2 weeks now, and the Russians have honored it. They have not attacked any more Ukrainian energy centers, right?
Exactly. Well, meanwhile, the Ukrainians have not honored it, and so today they attacked the Kursk region with HIMARS, and they said the Russians came out, their foreign minister said it was the British who dialed in the coordinates and the French satellites that assisted. So it's basically ordered by the British. The attack was ordered by the British. So, you know, that's where we're set. We've got a situation. So what if we go and we keep bombing the Houthis, or even worse, what if this thing in Diego Garcia means we're going to attack the Iranians? What's Russia going to do then? You know, these are things people, you know, like people like Trump who are pretty they're just stupid. They don't really understand the world. I really don't think they do. They tend to compartmentalize different issues, and they don't really understand how the world works, I don't think. And especially with Waltz and what's Hegseth and, you know, these young, like 40-something party boys that are running the NSA right now.
Well, what, Hegseth was just a Fox commentator. Come on. And
he's
just a front man.
Party boy. I mean, whatever. Yeah. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't have the experience in this world to know how he even works.
Not on a global stage.
He's a jarhead from Iraq. Yeah. I mean, that's what. Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have that. He's no Zygmunt Brzezinski. Not that I like Zygmunt Brzezinski, but, you know, it's kind of nice when you have people in power that know what the hell's going on, and that's what concerns me more than anything is, like, you can play nice with Russia now, but what's going to happen when you keep bombing the Houthis or get aggressive with Iran or whatever it is you're planning, and then what's going to happen with your Russia relationship?
I honestly think most of these people now, looking at Trump's appointments, Trump, he didn't appoint all these people. He was told in many cases who to appoint. We know that. But I honestly think a lot of these people are just—they're just figureheads. They're just titular figureheads. They're just—it's showbiz, and they're like players on a big chessboard, and they move them around, and they got faces, and they got ID. And if you notice, a lot of them come from media backgrounds. Now, why is that? Because they know how to handle the media, and when they're given a script, they can deliver it better than an amateur could. Think about all the people who have had media background work. Seriously, there's a lot of them in these appointments. A lot.
Well, it's all about the sales pitch again. You know, it's all about
sales.
Film, you know?
That's right.
The content doesn't matter. It's just like how you can convince people that, you know, what you're doing is good. So no surprise there. But you know.
Look at Tulsi Gabbard. She was a media person. Come on, and I could go through more. There are a number of them.
There's a bunch of them.
You're so right. Who in a position of authority, impact, power, who is surveilling the situation and knows that Russia and China have both said they will not tolerate Iran being attacked?
Right.
Who amongst those people is going to pull the trigger if there is an attack in the offing against Iran, and let it happen. That's going to start the big war. These people think
that's
that Russia, it doesn't have a point at which it's going to finally say, that's it. You earned it. Here it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought we, you know, and they've been nice to Trump. And if you look at RT, the coverage of Trump and even Musk and all these guys has been really just nice. They've been nice to him. But it's just.
Why have they been nice? Why, Dean? Why?
Well, this I think they genuinely want to, you know, stop this.
They want to break through. They want to stop this. I agree.
You know, which can't blame them. And, but yeah. I just don't think. I think they kind of look at them like. Then they look at them like vis a vis Iran and Yemen, and they're like, Jesus, what the hell is wrong with these people, man? We thought they were coming along, and we thought they didn't want wars. And we thought Trump was this peace nick who didn't ever start a war in his first administration. Well, he's bombing the shit out of Yemen now, isn't he? So, I mean, what's going on?
And where else is he sending 2,000-pound bombs? Where else is he sending satellite coordinating data for targeting? Where else is he? Israel. The guy's behind about half a dozen active conflicts right now. Trump. And the Russians know it. They know in Ukraine it's Trump. They know it. They're dealing against Trump. He stopped supplying Ukraine for 10 days. Why? To allow them to get ready and to rearm them. And he did. It took a pause.
Same thing. Put these gigantic tariffs on Venezuela and oil. I don't even know how you can do it, but I guess it's post refinery or something. But anyway, so that's just, it's definitely a declaration of war against Venezuela. The Russians just signed a defense pact with, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, they did. I missed it.
Covering their bases. It's just like, they did. And everybody is just, I don't know.
So Maduro.
Okay, as per usual, Americans are just la-di-da-di-da. We're the exceptional ones. And I don't know, man. I always said this, the Middle East is going to be the demise of Trump. And it's just looking like he's just going to play right into the script, man.
Well, it's a quicksand.
Look, they're going to do Operation Drew Promise 3. I mean, the Iranians are already promising that they're going to do that. They're going to do that. They still owe the Israelis one, you know, smack on the head. I don't know if you folks remember that. But also just for starting the shit again and killing more Palestinians, and it's like the 50,000 now. And so, you know, you got Lebanon now, the government, not Hezbollah, but the government of Lebanon really pissed at Israel now because they're bombing into southern Lebanon and killing people again.
The Israelis are
just opening every front. Now they're in Syria.
They won't withdraw. The Jews say they're going to stay in southern Lebanon.
It's greater Israel. They're going to keep expanding it, right? They're going to now probably go into Iraq next, Western Iraq probably. Take some of that because that's part of the plan. So it's just going to be
five bases at least in Syria, Dean.
Yeah,
five Israeli military bases have already been established.
Forget the Russians have a base in Syria still at Latakia. Don't forget that.
That's
so
true.
What's going to give there? What's going to give there? Mm-hmm. Are they going to ISIS go around killing the Alawites? Because that's what's going on now. And they got a port, and it's really important. And, it's important for trade, and it's important for submarines and a lot of things. So they're not going to let that go. So it's going to get dicey. And it's just, as long as Israel has the backing of the U.S., they'll just keep bumping people. And because they're just barbarians.
Israel is the U.S. in many ways.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. They've taken over. They own Wall Street.
Did you see what Doug McGregor said? Colonel McGregor?
He's a smart guy.
About Trump? Pardon?
No, he's a smart guy, but no, I didn't. No.
Let me find it. Hold on.
Yeah.
I've got to dig it up here. It's quite a statement. Now, two years ago or thereabout, Colonel McGregor was invited on this program a number of times. And he has a program booker, and that person refused to book him. He didn't want to come on here. He felt, obviously, that I was too much trouble. I was too far out there blaming the Israelis. Now, guess what? Colonel McGregor has changed his tune. And I've got to find this. Hold on.
Did you interview him, or is he going to come on?
No, he wouldn't come on. I just gave
he
up.
He wouldn't just say, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I thought he was excellent. I thought he deserved good support, and I wanted to give that to him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it. He said Trump is owned by the Israeli lobby. Mm-hmm. This is McGregor. So now, he wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. No way. Mm-hmm. So are his cabinet picks. And then he finished off with a little quickie here. The White House is occupied Jewish territory. It's Colonel McGregor. Yeah. So he's really come a long way.
Yeah, good to see. Yeah, it was good. But, you know, that's it. And, so it's just going to be, you know, we're going to see. That's where it's going to hit it. But I still think it's just going to be like a military head-to-head log. It's just going to come to a head. And Israel has to be defeated. You know, there's no other way. There's no other way the world can operate in a sane basis, you know.
Well, I think Doug McGregor would agree with you.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people would.
So I don't know who it's going to be that defeats them. I have no idea. If it's going to be the Houthis.
I think it'll have to be the
country in the world. That'd be great. But
they're going to have to defeat themselves, Dean, is what's going to have to happen.
Well, they will. They will. They'll overstep, and they may already be doing that. But, you know, they'll overstep. But that just has to happen for us to ever have a chance at a just world, right?
Well, the Germans wrote about this in 1944. They wrote all about this, where the world was going and who was going to control it. They knew, and they were very forthright about it. They wrote it in straight, plain English in Signal magazine. I had a copy of it.
That's right. It's because, if Israel's defeated, that means the crown has been defeated.
There was no Israel in 1944. You're right, but there was an international Zionism, which had declared war on Germany early in the 1930s, okay? They absolutely declared full war on Germany, the Zionists.
Absolutely.
Okay? So don't forget that.
Because Germany was, their engineering was out doing the engineering.
They were walking away with their competence, their scientific brilliance, their technological advances.
Yeah,
their treatment of their people was second to none. The way they treated their own people, their greatest asset, ask any German who lived then, they're all gone, but if you weren't able to do that, they'd tell you. The government treated the people as its greatest asset. And that's how it worked.
Yeah.
Now, here are a couple of quickies. Putin, fine. Why didn't he do this 2 years ago? The war's been going on there 3 years now. Putin calls for Zelensky's removal and to finish off the Ukrainian troops. Why didn't he do this 2 years ago? Because Zelensky was being protected. Maybe he still is. There's an international Zionist movement here that runs a lot of the operations going on, and Zelensky was to be absolutely protected. Zelensky reportedly now has told the U.S., no deal, no deal. I mean, he's nuts.
He's nuts. And the thing is, like I say today, you know, the British and the French. So he has the crown behind him. Make no mistake.
Does.
He may not have Trump behind him anymore. He may not have the U.S. behind him anymore, but he has the crown behind him.
And that's
Zionist. That is Zionism. Okay, so that's behind him. And we know he's behind him. And we know that's why Keir Starmer and Macron, you know, are at loggerheads with Trump. They don't care about Trump. It's just they care about Zelensky and Zionism.
Trump resumed full American aid to Zelensky.
Exactly.
I don't know where it is now, but
so
he did
almost
resume
like
it.
He did. So in a sense, they're singing from the same song sheet again. I mean, the Brits and the U.S., right? So, you know, we'll see. But it's just, I mean, until you can make a break from... Until the U.S. can make a break from the crown, from being the little bitch of the European Union, of NATO, of the City of London, whatever, all the rich people that live in Europe and have run our planet for 10,000 years, those people, we need to break ties with them, be allies with Russia, allies with China, allies with Iran, allies with the Houthis, allies with the Palestinians, enemies of Israel, enemies of the City of London. All Europe, and except for the progressive forces in Europe that want to be our friends, fine. Right now, it looks like that's Hungary, and you know. But other than that, I mean, they really are detrimental to our progress.
Oh, the British are
and to the progress of the world, just Europe in general. Yeah. It's just horrible. And I I mean, so you know, we have to break away from them, and if they're gonna, if they want to support Zelensky, we should just go ahead and let them do it. But no, Trump's just, he's a Zionist. He doesn't, he's not going to do that because he, again, he's beholden to Israel, and there's a connection between Israel and Ukraine. You know, if people haven't noticed, like a big time connection. And it is Zionism connection, and Zelensky is a, you know, it's all the same crowd. All these Ukrainian oligarchs they talk about, they all have, you know, Israeli dual citizenship. All of them.
Yep.
All of them.
Yep.
Every single one of them. And the same can be said of the Russian oligarchs. That, yeah. So, you know, it's a huge connection.
Thomas Massie has introduced a bill basically outlawing dual citizenship in terms of serving in this government, at least that part of it. At the top levels.
Be.
We shouldn't have dual citizens, dual in any sense. They should be, they're Americans. Forget this dual citizenship stuff.
Yeah, you're,
so he's right. And poor Massie is he's a brave man. I have a lot of respect
he's
for
good
him.
One, right?
He's, yes. He's probably the only good one there.
Probably the only good one, yeah.
Here you go now. March 28th, today. Are you ready for this? Trump would like the U.S. to join the Commonwealth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
That is a whopper.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there you have it. There you have it. Yeah. So little rebel Donnie, I guess, then last. So,
yeah.
No, he just wants to suck the tit of the Commonwealth again. I see. But, well, what else is new? He's just, look, Trump's just a brand, okay? He's just a brand, and that's
correct.
What it's turning out. That's
totally
what it's, I think what they're going to do, I think they really are going to, they could dump a lot of stuff on the top of his head, including this. It could be an economic crash for sure under the Trump, you know, because they still don't like him, you know, obviously the mainstream media.
No, I always got the impression he's walking on.
I mean, they pretend to anyway. I mean, I don't know, like, whatever, if it's real or not, you know, who knows. But I think it's more just fake. It's just more like, oh, Donald Trump, you know, we'll pretend to hate him and. You know, meanwhile, whatever. But because of that, at least pretending to hate him thing, they'll be able to dump the economy on Trump, and everybody else will say, "Oh yeah, we told you so."
Well, he'll see
Trump.
I think they may be setting him up to take
the
fall.
And maybe World War III too. Why not? Right?
Why not?
Why not just do it all under Trump? Just get it out of the way. It's going to have to happen anyway. I mean, this economy is going to crash at some point, right? It's just going to have to if it's ever going to be functional again. And, you know, for example, if kids aren't going to have to pay like $2,000 a month to rent a hovel again,
it's incredible.
So I don't know. So much, but they're going to dump a lot of stuff, and then they'll, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Hard to know. I think Trump, with all of his, he's like a big braggart. He's embarrassing.
Oh, of course
there's no comparison to Biden, but at any rate. He seems to be a guy who has been given total assurance, as long as you back us, meaning Zionism, you can do anything you want. We'll back you all the way, blah, blah, blah. But I still have the feeling that this guy is not Trump is not 100% convinced of his imperviousness to something bad happening. Their support is there, but I still have a feeling that he's walking on eggshells at times.
That's what I'm kind of saying, I think.
He's not quite sure how far he's going to go. Are they going to let him go? I don't know. He's a perfect fall guy.
Yeah.
Perfect. And they'll get their Vance. Peter Thiel will get his Vance in there. And
they're off to the races. People can all be all smug and tell us that they told us so, you know, because that's what they do anyway. And what they like to do anyway in their spare time. So, yeah, that's what they'll do. And, New York Times and the Washington Post, we told you so. And that's the way it'll go. I think that's the way it's going to go. So, one thing about, for your listeners, I would definitely, dump your stocks, in a hurry, Monday.
shift into precious metals.
Gold,
talk to Melody.
But,
at discount,
cash and get, hell, you get 4% at us. Still get a 4% CD at a bank, man. So, you know, that ain't nothing to sneeze at. I'd go real conservative right now because, They're gonna.
Well, Melody was on the other night, and she's discount gold and silver trading. Melody Cedarstrom. Mm-hmm. She said that she's heard a number of stories of people unable, and these are different banks, to get their money out. They've tried to get their cash out. You know, not 100,000, mm-hmm. 10 grand, whatever, and they can't get it.
Wow.
The banks are telling them, no, you're not doing something right, or some BS. Some crap. But these banks are right on the edge, I think, a lot of them. I don't know. I'm not an economist, but this is the sense I get.
Yeah.
They're really not super solvent, even though they've been able to create money out of vapors and loan it out of interest. They're still not doing as well as they'd like you to think.
Well, it's still just a giant Ponzi scheme, okay? So when the music stops, everything is. So when the music stops and you don't have a chair, you don't get a cake, okay? And that's all it is. So, as long as people believe in this whole fake thing called the stock market, which is just gambling and guessing and betting, and it's just all speculation, right? And as long as the speculation is in the upward trend and there's optimism and da-da-da, then fine. But the minute the music stops, it's a spiraling effect, and there's going to be a lot of people get hurt, but they never seem to learn. They never learn.
No, they don't. That's a good
point,
too.
They don't. They never learn. And I ever since I was a young man, I mean, I just never would have invested in the stock market. I never have, never will. And it's more of a moral thing because, maybe I got a little money in my credit union here, but it's like at least whatever, it's not, And they're probably buying stock with that money even sometimes, although I think my credit union doesn't. It's mostly little real estate loans and stuff around here, but I'm just saying, I did once. Did you? Back when
one time, when I was in college, I put $1,200 Pardon?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Oh, I put $1,200 into a stock that couldn't miss, and that stock turned my $1,200 into $500 in one day, and that was my lesson.
That's awesome. Actually, that happened to me, too, in college. It was Cord Futures, yeah. Because I live in South Dakota. It was SDSU, this kid. Yeah, he was like ag economist major. And he was like, oh, yeah, we got to do this. And so we did. And so then the cord, it went up. I was like, shouldn't we go ahead and sell it? Man, we're up like 1,000 or whatever. No, let's hang on. So I listened to him and hung on. Yeah, same thing, lost money. So I did actually do it once too. But you're right, it was my lesson. Never did it again. So maybe it was a good thing that happened to both of us.
I know, it was probably a cheap lesson. You look back, think
cheap
about
lesson.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because otherwise, man, later on you could...
I was not happy, but I learned. I said, wait a minute. What am I giving my money to somebody else for to play with? It's stupid.
That's the thing. And then they lose it for you, and you think about that, and you're like, wow, this doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? No, it doesn't.
And then
actually,
you contact the company, and they say, well, you can write it off. It's a loss. Don't worry. No problem.
Right, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, well, that's easy for them to say. They're not the ones that lost money, so... Yeah, but
it's a cheap lesson, right?
But yeah, I do think that's coming. Though I think it's all gonna. There's gonna be a big old. They're gonna dump it on Trump's head.
I don't know. All right, we've placed 40% of our entire B-2 bomber force halfway around the world. Diego Garcia, what's it doing there? Mm-hmm. I don't think they were sent over there to bomb Yemen. I just don't. They can do well enough with F-16s and F-35s. They don't need that. They can use B-52s. These B-2s, we only have 19. We lost two. One crashed and one was...
I just said almost sounds like they're worried about an attack on our B-2 bombers somewhere else.
I don't know, but they certainly are staged to be taken out, aren't they?
They're
3,000 miles from Iran. I don't think the Iranians.
By the way, why
could,
do we know this? I mean, who is it that tells us this, and why? It shouldn't even be public information.
Good point, and we talked about that the other day.
I don't know where it's coming from, but it's not something that should be out there at all. So good job by Mike Waltz again, I guess. Chit chat whatever you call it, chatbot or whatever. Well, they said chatbot, GPT is anti-Russian. It's Russia-phobic. Did you hear that?
GPT-4? I'm not surprised.
Yeah. That's what the Russians are saying. It's Russia-phobic.
Well, probably is. Everything else is. Why not? That's the game.
Exactly. All the people that invented it were. So.
Here's some more. All right, let's flip the coin and take a look at at China, Hong Kong, Hutchison Whampoa, which is just Hutchison now, and the Panama Canal. Well, guess what? Hutchison out of Hong Kong, the Chinese Communist Company, will not sign the Panama deal next week to sell off ports. The control on each end, those ports on each end of the canal, they're not selling. They won't do it. So the Panama Canal deal has been derailed.
And also, I wonder who Hutchison Whampoa is, because it used to not be the Chinese Communists. It used to be the British that owned Hutchison. It probably still is, because it's Hong Kong. So, because they own, Peninsula Orient Navigation Company, PONC, and they own Dubai Ports, which is the biggest. So I bet you anything, it's not the Chinese government. I bet you that's just propaganda, I bet you, from the Trumpies or whatever.
You may be right, and here's why. The Chinese, the Beijing says it's going to launch an antitrust probe. An antitrust probe against Hutchison.
Oh, there you go then. Interesting. Beijing's going to do that.
Yeah,
because we wouldn't do that. Of course, Trump's not going to do that.
No.
I'm sure Hutchison trades in the U.S. too. It has ports here. Yeah, no, this is the crown. That's who owns Hutchison, and I know it is, because that's the...
There's no N in it. It's Hutchison. There's no
Hutchison,
N. Not Hutchinson. Hutchison. Anyway, whatever. All right, let me do this. If Trump has promised to bring the canal back under American control, and the deal is off now, what's next?
Right.
He's already promised that America's going to take it back militarily. And we could be involved in that. That could be the next, war of the week.
Right.
Who the hell knows?
But who are we taking it back from? It's not, it'd be great if we went and just, to Hutchison and just, said, hey, stick them up, we'll take all your money and assets. But we're not going to do that, right? We're going to pick a war with the Panamanian government, right? One nation, I don't know. But, so if it was really real, if it had anything at all to do with, it's a just thing to do, in other words, to take that port away from those guys. Just like it would also be a just thing to do to take away all the Dubai ports in this country and put them under our governments, put them under the transportation department. Cut government. How about add the government in this case?
How many ports here owned by foreign countries? I don't know if the Chinese got hold of Long Beach or not. I think that was rejected, but there are other ports and logistics facilities for shipping that are not owned by American companies.
And the operator of those ports, maybe the U.S. owns the port under the Port Authority, but the operator, the kind of contractor, I guess you'd say, that's running that port is nine times out of ten, it's Dubai Ports. And Dubai Ports.
It is Dubai Ports. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And that came out of Peninsula Orient Navigation Company, the PONC Hong Kong company that worked with Jardine Matheson, and the Swire Group and all those old, the British Hongs. They call them Hongs. That was the Hongs in Hong Kong, was the British Hongs. Those were the white guys. Those were the white glove Brits that controlled Hong Kong, were the Hongs.
Right.
And built the biggest Freemason lodge on the planet in Hong Kong. And it's still there today. I saw it with my own eyes. It's freaking huge. It's right next to the HSBC Bank headquarters and Standard Chartered Bank headquarters, because those are the two big banks of the crown.
Correct.
And so that's who Dubai Ports is. Well, so in other words, we should take that away from them, because look, you want to know why the drugs are coming in? You want to know why the guns are coming in? You want to know why assassinations happen? You want to know why a lot of things? It's Dubai Ports. Two words, Dubai Ports. They let it happen. So we need to, and then beyond that, they contract sometimes to Serco on some things. And so it's just like, if you want to get rid of government waste, this is where you do it. You take out the contracts of these people. I did hear at least the White Helmets lost their USAID funding in Syria, because they were getting USAID funding to go to Russia.
Everybody but you was getting USAID.
Especially if you lied about everything, which is what they specialized in. They were the ones that would go and say, the Syrian government, they used gas on their own people, and it'll be a total lie. you know, it would be the jihadi British intelligence guys that would do that, and then the White Helmets would come in and turn it all around and, like, scrub the area and set up all the evidence and then bring in the media. And so anyway, they're
It's all showbiz. It's all theater, almost invariably. Back to the port thing, just for a quickie. Many U.S. port terminals, as I said, are operated by foreign countries, companies, or other entities. Here's an example. Let me see here. The Port of Los Angeles, where a significant portion of all the terminals are run by foreign companies, and the Port of New York and New Jersey, Port of New York - New Jersey, where 6 out of 7 terminal operators are foreign-owned. We don't even own our damn ports.
Right. So why don't we start there, you know? I mean, if you want to go...
Well, we either are a country or we're not, okay? And the first thing you have to have as a viable nation-state is a border, all right? So that at least is being taken care of to a significant degree. That's very good. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And the next thing should be the ports, because it's the same thing. It's your border and your airports and your... You know, why are we letting these foreign companies contract out and control our critical infrastructure? And that, how much is that costing our government to pay those contractors? That's just what went wrong with government. You know, it wasn't government itself. It was the fact that we adopted this British model of contracting out everything in our government to some private corporation, including war, to people like Blackwater. So, I mean, that's the problem. That's where Musk could do
black,
some good.
Is black water or black rock? What do you mean?
Well, in that case, it was black water. Remember black water?
Back then, Eric Prince,
Yeah, that's the first privatization of kind of the military, you know, that went kind of big, large scale, you know, Iraq. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, they were running things in Iraq. It wasn't even the U.S. military running things over there, from what I heard.
There's another story I just found. Check this one out. Another foreign company purchases U.S. port terminals, and the ILWU, the union, ratifies the contract. Did you know, the story goes, that most U.S. port terminals are owned and operated by foreign entities? Do you find that a bit concerning? It's a fact that these important access points to this country are not American-owned. It seems like a national security problem, doesn't it?
It is.
Yes.
It is. And it is, and that's where, I mean, everything comes in through ports. I mean, virtually everything as far as, you know, foreign trade.
And you know how many containers are opened and inspected,
drugs,
Dean?
And illegals. Yeah, exactly. Not very many, you know.
One out of 100.
There you go. And if Dubai Ports is running the operation and they don't want certain things inspected, guess what? They just don't inspect them. So then
that's
the
exactly
sheikhs
what
and the
happens.
Saudi,
and
the
you know the inspectors... Yeah, the inspectors may be American, government-approved, trained, and all, but they'll take a bribe, most of them.
That's true.
There's some that won't. But most everybody's got a price, especially in a strained, stressed economy. See, if you give somebody $100,000 in some Bahamian bank account, if they'll look the other way and not look at that string of containers coming in, they'll do it. This is the way people are. They'll take a chance. The company CMA and CGM just bought two more. This is 2 years ago. Two more container terminals at the Port of New York, New Jersey. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
68 million containers are in service. 68 million containers.
Yeah, the amount of those things that comes in and out it's crazy. Well, you know, remember that ship that hit the bridge in Baltimore? Yeah. I mean, take a look at that thing. It's just like, wow. And there's just tons of those out there just cruising around the ocean. And and then a lot of times, though, you know, they flag in Panama or they flag in Liberia or Liechtenstein, you know, whatever. So that, guess what? They don't pay no taxes. So there's another just huge source of income, you know, to tax these shipping companies.
I know. I'm not knocking anybody here. But the average American has no clue about any of this. Now, you people listening, and wherever you are around the world, you get it. Your country is probably being manipulated in much the same way, in many ways, as we are. And it's all big money. If you track this big money far enough, usually you're going to find the same grimy hands on it. It just happens. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. It's called monopoly capitalism. And it's in the late stages, so you know, it's pretty easy to track, you know, who owns it all, because they own everything now. And so, yeah, it's crazy. That's still, of course, the biggest problem with the whole thing. So, I mean, we got to unravel this concentration of wealth somehow. I can only hope that, you know, the one thing I like seeing is just the stock market going down, because that's going to help do that, you know. That's going to help unravel the wealth.
Ever since my little experience, I've never liked the stock market. And when you understand now that most all of the stock market is owned by corporate investors.
Yeah.
It's not the Mr. and Mrs. America anymore. That's right.
No.
So what good does it do us?
What
the hell does it?
Yeah. No, it's just saying, it's the people that own the planet. They own all the stocks. They own all 500 of them. Fortune 500, all 500 of them. it's beyond Alice in Wonderland. But just go check it out. Just go look at every single Fortune 500 company and see who the top five shareholders of that company are. It's going to be the same five. It's amazing. But yeah, it's State Street Capital, Vanguard, BlackRock, Bank of New York Mellon, and who's the fifth one? FMR Corporation, Fidelity Management Resources.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, it's just the big Fidelity, Fidelity mutual funds, whatever.
I like to also focus on look how ultimately those people live in their world with their financial economies. They have their own economies, not ours. They don't. They run their own money games, and they've taken care of the masses by dumbing them down, giving them smartphones, and they're addicted. I call it terminal screen addiction. 5 hours a day, they don't have a clue about what's going on, and they don't want to know. They got enough stress. They're barely making it. Gee, they bought that $120,000 pickup truck, and they're trying to make payments on it so they can drive it back and forth to Walmart. This is crazy.
Right. And that's what they do. Yeah, no, and I mean, see, you know, and honestly, this Generation Z, I mean, it takes the cake on dumb, man. I mean, there's no negotiation. There's no, they feel bad about everything they do. Like, they have to buy everything from Chewy.com because otherwise they'll feel guilty about destroying the planet. And they've been totally destroyed. Their psyche has been totally just annihilated by these fuckers, and to where there's an empty shell. They're just a shopping vessel, right? And they don't negotiate. They would consider that, like, if they negotiated that would be, like, beneath them or something. But they're these glorified white trash that they have nothing, but they think they're special. And it's just like, it's a bad combination, because, like, how are you going to ever pop the housing bubble if these kids will just, they just don't use their head. They just, I just want that house over there. I'm going to buy it. They don't, no regard for can they afford it or can they, or anything. Just, I want to buy that one now. I'm going to go click, I bought it.
Well, they don't.
How are we ever going to get rid of any kind of inflation? Okay, because this is a big part of the inflation, Jeff, that people don't understand, is the stupidity of consumers, and especially the young ones, and just stupid, okay?
Oh, they don't
and
have
I don't know how you're going to fix that. How are you going to bring the price of eggs down if people won't even stop buying fucking eggs for 1 week? Instead, they buy 20 dozen
cartons
of them and stock up on them at $10. Oh, that's really smart. You know, instead of just, like, everybody boycott them and wait. Because I tell you who's making the money, it's Cargill, who owns 50% of the egg trade in this country. That's
Cargill.
Who's making money hand over fist. Even Trump knows that. He wants an anti-Trump investigation. And guess what? Egg prices have been cut in half in the last week. Just because of the investigation. Or at least the threat of an investigation. That's all it takes.
Oh, yes. And there was that Chinese guy, Justin, somebody yesterday, who... darn it. He paid $30 million, basically, to get them to call off a probe into his business ethics. I forget what it was, but it cost him $30 million, so he didn't have to go to prison. He didn't get investigated. Another big businessman. It's all corrupt. I don't know what level you can go to and say it's no longer corrupt here, because I think it goes all the way to the top. I really do.
And all the way to the bottom, too, anymore.
It's absolutely. And
because
Trump's tariffs?
Mm.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
he's playing tariff game. He's playing King tariff. And one big shipping company said if he lays another tariff on the Chinese, we're out of business. We won't be able to transport. It was a shipping line. We're not going to be able to transport containers anymore. Mm-hmm. No more.
Yeah, between that and the Houthis, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But look, that's what happened in the 30s, right? I mean, it was like it was a protectionist trade war, Calvin Coolidge, McKinley, whatever, all that. I don't know, but Coolidge really, and everybody got Smoot-Hawley, and they passed Smoot-Hawley, and everybody became all the countries in the world restricted trade became very isolationist, next thing you know, we had a depression. I think what people aren't understanding. Like even the Wall Street people that some of them get it, but very few of them. But what in fact is going to happen is in the end, this inflation, the tariffs will actually go the other way. They'll be incredibly deflationary because nobody's going to, people are going to quit shopping and the companies will have to eat a lot of this. But they're going to, it's easy for them to say, oh, we'll just pass the costs on to the consumer of these tariffs. When people are buying stuff, but what about when people aren't buying stuff anymore? Which is kind of like right now. Okay, it's over. Like people aren't buying stuff right now. It's like kind of locked up. The economy's kind of locked up right now. That's what's really going on. That's what they're not really telling you. But some of them are. But in other words, in the end, we're going to go into a massive depression. And this.
Well, we're being set up.
I think we're being set up for it. Yeah. Yeah,
not to mention the fact that we've got 80% injected with the COVID vax and the COVID synthetic bioweapon virus. They both trigger massive spike protein production in your body, which means your life is shortened, sometimes dramatically. We got a worldwide, global, horrific cancer explosion right now. Call it turbo, call it whatever you want. It's absolutely everywhere, and it's being spread by people who took the shot anywhere from 1 year to 3-4 years ago. It's sad, and they're going down. 13-year-old kids with pancreatic cancer, cancers that kids should never even talk about, never hear about, and they're getting it. This is all part of the population reduction thing. It's disgusting.
It is, and that's also going to be, the way they think about everything is just economics, right? So that's also going to be in the end.
We're expendable. Totally.
When people die, it's deflationary. When that kind of, on that scale, I mean, when people die, who's going to buy your stuff, Not to mention who's going to make your stuff or who's going to anything.
That's true.
So that's something else and I don't know. So I think that, anyway, that's where it's all going. That's where it's all going to end up is sort of a depression. A big crash and depression. And I suppose they also know that, and so there's some reason to continue the Middle East war as long as they can, just as long as they can, keep the arms trade going. They have to.
Well, I'm just waiting to see. I know that, unfortunately, I think Israel just upped its direct control of about 18%, call it 20%. Of Gaza, and you know damn well that Trump is going to be in the driver's seat if they do build that Riviera on the Mediterranean.
Yeah, that's not going to happen though. That's just not going to happen. I mean, Iran will just turn into a parking lot before that happens. I'm pretty sure it's just not going to happen. Palestinians aren't going to let that happen. Nobody's going to let that happen. That just can't happen. And of course they're in there now. And now the Israelis are sponsoring these fake protests, right, where the Palestinians are protested supposedly against Hamas, right? And so that's where that's the stage we're at now. They're like trying to make it look like the Palestinians love the Israelis. I don't know, they're playing all these games, but it's just not going to happen. I guarantee you. The only people that are going to live in Gaza are going to be the Palestinians. And
they're starting to chew up the West Bank very seriously now, too.
They're going to be met with a parking lot mentality.
Oh, that too.
That's what's going to happen because it's not going to be acceptable, and it really isn't acceptable. If you let that happen, you might as well everybody cares anything about justice. I mean, in the world or believes in God.
There will be none left.
They can't
pay lip service to a fraud because it is so outrageously gone.
So there is none.
They're slaughtering people right now as we speak, around the clock.
Yeah.
They're shooting little kids in the head. They're shooting pregnant women in the abdomen. They're bombing. Who bombs hospitals? Who bombs tent cities? Tents. Who bombs tents?
Talking about to take out the teenage population, it's just sick, and it's just somebody has to defeat them. It still remains the truth. I don't know who's going to be, but it's
I don't know what's going to happen.
But it's definitely coming to a head where, it's either going to be, the greater Israel and the third Antichrist or whatever, the Rothschilds run the whole goddamn, or it's going to be the other way. It's just going to be one or the other. And I'm hoping it's the other way. But
keep your seatbelts handy and keep them fastened because things are not smooth. We've got rough seas ahead. Rough seas.
It's tough
times. No joke. What are you working on, Dean? You writing another book? What are you doing right now? You just sitting back watching everything?
Really just, hiking a lot, trying to get out, keep from being too cynical.
Forget that. That's an almost impossible dream in this world.
In a way. But just got to stay focused on that because got to keep our... got to keep our love of nature and our love of life alive.
That's what we can really hold on to. I agree. Thanks for mentioning that. That's very important.
Because it's pretty crazy otherwise. But, nothing in particular as far as a project or anything.
Your contributions are, they're permanent, so you don't have to worry about it.
Some sense, I'm just like, what am I going to say? I got nothing left.
What is there to say?
I got nothing left to say. What am I supposed to say next? I told you run the world. So what do you want from me now? I don't know what to tell you. Now let's do something about it. But, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. Maybe we are. Maybe we're already doing something about it. I don't know.
Well, it's always good to hear your view on things.
Same here, and same to you, and keep up what you're doing, Jeff, because you're the same. I mean, man, everything you've ever done is just so important. And
you're very kind. You're a good man, Dean, and we need a lot more.
Enough. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
I hear you. That's just just stay that way. That's all. I mean, that's the main thing. Stay human, right?
I'm not changing. No.
No, you won't. No, because. You won't.
All right.
So that's good. So, all right. Well, I really appreciate you having me, Jeff. As always, brother. And just keep up the good work. And
thank you. We'll talk to you next
time. Everything you do, man. Okay, you too.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Dean Henderson. There's some great people on this program, just extraordinary people. And they all have something important to say, and they've done great things, many of them, as well. I hate to use the word great, but it fits. Be right back with Hour 2 for you next.